Welcome back to the latest High Touch, High Tech podcast. This is part two of the podcast of the science of gratitude and inspiration. We hope you enjoy.
Hi, this is Narwhal Nina.
And this is Sequoia Shanna.
And this is the High Touch, High Tech podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2023, everybody. Now, January is famously kind of an uninspiring time. We've all had lots of dopamine and serotonin over the holidays, twinkly lights, presents, sodium and sugar, all that good stuff. And then January hits, the new year is kind of starting. And I think there really have been some scientific studies on this, how people's mood really does tend to drop in January after all of the holidays. But don't worry, we're here to save the day, give you some warm fuzzies and some good ideas about inspiration as we talk about that wonderful subject, that most wonderful of subjects, the thing that makes life so delicious, that makes possibilities so open, that leads to incredible scientific discoveries, inspiration itself. What is it? How do we feel it? Where does it come from? We're going to be talking again today with some stories from our own lives and some more science about inspiration. So, if you like cool, true stories and you like brain science, this is the podcast for you. And if you're looking for something to just cheer you up on those dopamine low January days, this is also the podcast for you. So, welcome, welcome, welcome.
You know what cheers me up, Nina?
What cheers you up, Shanna?
Well, if it's January, That is seed buying season.
It's seed buying season.
It's seed buying season for me.
I did not know that. Tell us about seed buying season.
Well, I call it all the seed catalogs start coming in.
Okay.
All the seed catalogs start coming in. So you can go through there and circle what you like. What kind of squash we're going to plant this year?
Ooh.
What kind of beans we're going to plant this year? What kind of flowers might we plant this year? Also, we are gaining about 1 minute of daylight a day.
We are?
Since the winter solstice, yes, the days gradually start getting longer. So that's something to look forward to.
Okay.
Is that we're gaining about 1 minute of daylight.
That's right, folks. If your dopamine is low, maybe it'll help to know that here we are in January. We are gaining a minute of daylight a day.
Approximately.
Okay. We're coming back up to spring. We are doing it. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're excited about seed buying season.
I'm excited.
You know what? I'm excited for you. You know, like we talked about in our last podcast, how feelings of inspiration pass from one life to another and manifest in awesome things like becoming a doctor, becoming a scientist. Shanna's inspiration passes to me, and now I'm thinking, hey, maybe I should buy some seeds.
Yeah,
you know,
should.
Yeah, maybe I should get into growing some beans.
I've planted a seed.
You planted a seed
about buying seeds.
And that, my friends, is inspiration in a nutshell. My goodness, how beautiful it is that those things can transmit from one person to another. Remember, in our last podcast, we talked about the steps that inspiration kind of takes from the preparation, the opening of the mind to a new idea. Then a person takes that inspiration that opened their mind from one person, the person focuses on it, they incubate it and develop it, they have insight that creates something new, and then they manifest that inspiration as something, which in turn inspires somebody else. So it's just amazing how that's been such a driver of, I don't know, kind of like, technological innovation, scientific innovation, artistic innovation, farming.
Yes. And I think we have more stories today.
We sure do. Inspiration is, it's a process. It's a thing that, you know, can be somewhat scientifically measured, and we can talk about it in these steps. And it's also kind of like a mystical chain that passes from life to life. So talking about inspiration, let me see if I can give you guys a little warm fuzzy here on this January day. In our last podcast, we talked about how the nature of inspiration from our friend Alyssa Corsione, the nature of inspiration, this moment of seeing things differently. And we read the incredible story of a young woman who was literally inspired to become a scientist, a doctor, from our CEO and founder, Dan Shaw. Here at High Touch High Tech, inspiration is our business. It's our game. It's what we do all the time. Shanna, I know, have you experienced, you know, you teach a class and the kids are so stoked on science and you get that wonderful moment at the end. I call it scientist hugs. where one of the little kids runs up and hugs you and goes, I want to be a scientist. Oh, you're the best scientist ever. I want to be a scientist just like you.
But it makes me feel amazing. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel, mm-hmm. I feel so fulfilled, mm-hmm. and it makes me excited to come mm-hmm. back the next day.
Yes. Yes.
Especially when they say that they're going to be science, and especially when they know what kind of scientist they want to be.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Ah, that's just so cool how inspiration can be given. You know, it can be shared. It can be passed on to everybody. How good it feels to give, how good it feels to get. My gosh, it's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
So I want to share a little story of me being inspirational teaching for high touch, high tech, and what that was like. What does it feel like? We talked about before what the receiving end of inspiration. What's it like on the giving end? And what is some of the science, philosophy, and thought behind that? So disclaimer, y'all, I've been a teacher pretty much all my life, my adult life. Inspiration is definitely the name of my game. And if you're a teacher out there, you work for high touch, high tech, you know, you're a science instructor, you know, the depth of preparation it takes to make something look effortless for your students. For every good teacher you had, if you guys are thinking about a teacher that inspired you, that was amazing. Behind every second of that inspiration you got was probably years of preparation, years of experimenting with techniques, of research and study. You know, I feel like that for every millisecond of inspiration I'm able to spread, there were years and years of work behind them.
Preparation.
Preparation, study, experimentation. Anyway, experimentation and just, a lot of hard work. So inspiration, it makes it all worth it. All that work you put in when you know you're actually inspiring other people, like you said, it's so fulfilling. It's the best feeling ever.
Right.
It really does make it worth it, a worthwhile moment. So I'd like to talk about a time I inspired some kids with high touch, high tech. And we're going to discuss, you know, what is sort of the logistical pattern, like what makes inspiration? What are the ingredients in inspiration? And we're going to go back to Aristotle to help us explain some of that. But I'd like to tell you my tale first. This was in maybe 2020. And this was at the you know, the worst of COVID. And not to be deterred from our mission of spreading science and inspiring little scientists, here in our office in Asheville, North Carolina, we shifted to all online teaching, which was very different for me at the time because I was not getting that in-person kind of energy from students. It was a very different kind of delivery style. But I just felt like, oh man, kids were so trapped in their houses. You know, a lot of school was still online. Everything was so scary. That kind of inspired me to just do the best I could to make this work and make it fun and make it light and beautiful for kids who probably weren't getting a lot of exciting moments in this very scary time. And so it was just a moment where kind of history, my words, what was in my heart, and you know, the way the students were feeling all really coalesced into a big moment of inspiration. We were doing a program called Extreme Scene. And if you know Extreme Scene, it's one of my favorites, about the adaptations that animals make to very, very difficult environments. Extreme Scene is all about the theme of survival, the theme of adapting to changes in some of the most difficult environments on Earth. Extreme Scene talks about the deep sea. It talks about the desert. It talks about Antarctica. And we talk about, you know, how penguins survive with down in the deep ocean. We talk about bioluminescence and how animals can live under crushing pressure in the darkness. And at that time, the kids were having such a great time with Extreme Scene. And we were having a beautiful moment learning about all these animals. And it just kind of struck me, you know, I was looking at their little faces and they were all having a good time. And at the same time, you know, everybody was so scared. It was such a weird moment. And I was teaching them about how animals have to adapt all the time. And I was kind of inspired to take it to another level with the ideas that I was giving them, taking inspiration from them and kind of giving it back at that moment. How it's, you know, obviously we're all scientists here, right? Adaptation is the way of nature. If you want to survive, you got to adapt, right? It's the basis of biology, how adaptation in the face of natural pressure is what drives living things to survive and continue their growth and flourishing upon the earth. So I suddenly remembered a little snail. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's called the scaly foot snail, I believe. It had been just discovered at the time. And I was so inspired by this that I passed it on to the students. The scaly foot snail is a special kind of snail that lives right on the edge of hydrothermal vents, which are about 700 degrees hot. They're spilling out all kinds of toxic chemicals, and they're feeding chemosynthetic bacteria on the edge of these hydrothermal vents. And y'all, so deep in the ocean. I'm not sure of the exact measurement now, but think, you know, the abyss. And these little snails, scientists discovered, over time, had adapted their bodies to have a thin coating of iron.
Iron?
Yes.
On their bodies?
Yes. And kind of more like pyrite. And they're not made of iron, but if you turn over the scaly foot snail, you know how bottoms of snails, their little pod looks like a booger. The scaly foot snail looks like iron plates. And its body is iron plates that kind of protect it from the heat and allow it to live on a hydrothermal vent. I don't know, but that's incredible.
Life on a hydrothermal vent.
Yes.
Deep down in the
deep,
ocean.
Deep down. Never sees the sunlight. Constant diet of like super hot water and toxic chemicals. It actually eats the bacteria that chemosynthesize those. But anyway, all of that kind of came together. Inspiration happens as a moment. You capture that right moment, you can really blow the doors open. I remember thinking of all of it. I was so interested in the snail and so interested in like helping these kids make sense of what was going on. And so I kind of looked at them all and we all just had this moment. It's hard to describe. And I had said to them, you know, even in the darkest and scariest of places, even in places where there's no light at all, when things are just terrifying, they're unbelievably difficult, life always finds a way to go on. Even in the darkness, even under the pressure, life finds a way to go on. And if the snail can do it, we can do it.
That's a great representation too.
Thank you. Yeah. And in that moment, like a lot of the kids, I don't know how to say it. There was just like this collective sigh, this collective uptake. And the kids were, I don't know, like you could feel the pressure kind of ease. We all had a moment together. It's kind of hard to describe inspiration, isn't it? I think that's why we don't talk about it a whole lot. It's fleeting and powerful. But I was inspired by the moment and my students to just say that thing that sums up what everybody needed to hear and use science, you know, and scientific truth that even in these scary places, even in the darkness, there are animals that make light and they go on and they live. You know, the most tremendous changes you can think of, the most tremendous pressures, life finds a way to go on. And we're part of life. And that means you too. That was just a powerful moment.
Were they really attentive? I imagine they were really attentive in that moment.
Yeah, you can see, and I've gotten good over the years. I can see when people are getting it and what is happening to them. There's a certain look in people's eyes when you hit them just the right way at the right moment with something.
So during that moment of inspiration, that's when those alpha waves appear in the brain.
It was definitely some alpha waves going on definitely in that moment. Alpha waves. Yeah.
And that's a relaxed feeling, and it inspires creativity in people. It's a super learning moment.
It really felt like that. It really felt like that. Like so many things were coming together in that moment. The world outside of me, you know, the inspirations that I was taking from science, you know, my love for the kids, they just all came together. Yeah, it probably was like a super brainwave. And I wonder if all of our brainwaves kind of synced at that moment. There's a moment where you feel kind of like as one with your students when you're really inspired and inspiring them at the same time. It's very transcendent. Mm-hmm. I wonder, it's like our brainwaves all synced up or something. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I had that huge moment of inspiration myself that I could just see was inspiring my students. I saw like their little faces just light up. I saw their eyes go wide. You just feel that click. And, you know, in this podcast and the one before it, you know, we're talking about different kinds of scientific explanations for inspiration. You know, for example, Alyssa exemplified that moment where everything just makes sense, that moment where you receive inspiration from somebody and it inspires you to think differently about yourself. That incredible letter from our doctor to Dan about how he inspired her to become a doctor, helped exemplify sort of the process that happens in a person once they've been inspired, from having their mind opened to focusing on new things, to incubating their own ideas, to manifesting them in the real world, and then passing on the inspiration. So we have something from the OG, the godfather of science, the man called Aristotle himself, to explain what was I doing in that moment that was inspirational.
Right. So we're going to delve into Aristotle's influence model. So the first place that we start is logos. That's rational. It is the logic, the reason, the rational approach to things.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into pathos. That's the emotion or the empathy or the sympathy and compassion aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move into ethos. And that's character, credibility, presence. So we take all these things together and then we put them all together in the right opportune moment. And that's what you were doing during the classroom. It was the right opportune moment to introduce that skelly foot snail that lived near those hydrothermal vents where most people would think life would be almost impossible. So that's kairos. That is the right opportune moment, the perfect time and the perfect place to present your logos, your pathos, and your ethos.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And it's a way that you could put together a method of being inspiring to other people. So it's a great model for teachers to review and understand.
It is. And I remember in reviewing this at some points in my teaching career and thinking it was really interesting how, you know, Aristotle, the ancient Greeks had an incredible tradition of spoken philosophy, oratory, persuasion. Aristotle, if you don't know, was one of those ancient Greeks who laid the foundation for scientific inquiry as we know it today. Of course, he didn't have brain science like we do now, but he was thinking the same things that we do. What is inspiration? What happens when you feel it? What is that feeling? And for him, it was this combination. Okay, I'm going to go through the words again because I hear them all over the place, but I never quite.
Yeah, go through.
Okay, so ethos is like the character, like the person you are, the energy that you bring. Okay, so part of that is you and the energy you're bringing. The pathos is the empathy you have for your audience, the way you can connect with them, that feeling. And then logos, I guess, is like the data, the words that you're sharing.
That's the logic.
Okay,
reason,
okay.
Yeah.
So my logos was maybe like the scaly foot snail. And my pathos was like the feeling for the students and what we were all going through at the time. And my ethos, I guess, was that I don't know, maybe like the teaching experience I had to just go ahead and present that, you know, to sense it. But it really was like, wow, that moment of kairos, that moment, knowing that it was the right time to say that, knowing that it was what was needed. So I guess, I don't know, just like we were saying in our earlier podcast, you know, it takes a lot of prep. It takes a lot of work to inspire people behind the scenes. But then part of inspiration, could you say, is just seizing that right moment?
Seizing the right moment, right?
Yeah. If you want to be influential or inspirational to other people, you can have pathos, logos, and ethos all yourself, but you got to have that moment. You got to read the room. You got to know what that moment is. Right. That's very interesting. You know, there are times to say some things and times to say others. If you have your ethos, pathos, and logos together, what you got to do to be inspirational, I guess, is like seize the kairos and know what it is. And some moments might be more kairos than others. But I guess if you're carrying ethos, pathos, and logos, the moment of kairos does come. And I wonder what Aristotle would say about my take on that. But I think it's just so cool that people have been thinking about how to inspire each other and what it means since Aristotle's time and probably before that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to talk myself up, but like that moment I delivered to the students was probably something that happened millions, billions of times in human history, civilizations all over the world. You know, a teacher under a tree sharing with students, you know, who are writing in the dirt or something like that.
I've been inspired by teachers many, many times.
Yeah, yeah. And we all share that moment of Kairos that passes on forever, or as long as humankind exists, I guess. Although we think animals can get inspired as well, possibly.
Animals definitely can get inspired.
Mm-hmm. All right. And humans can get inspired. This is amazing stuff. So yeah, what are some of your moments of inspiration? You know, a teacher that hits you in that moment of Kairos, their logos and ethos and pathos all got together and Kairos you. What went on? Tell us the story.
Well, back a while back at Wilkes Community College, I walked into a Western civilization class. And there was a man teaching that class who was also a theater teacher and a theatrical performer. Mm-hmm. His name was Bud Mays.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Bud Mays.
Shout out to Bud Mays. Mm-hmm. This man was like a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
This classroom was packed full of students. People were standing in the back. Because this is a very popular class, and I soon understood why.
Mm-hmm.
He was a one-man show, and he did this many times. You would come into the classroom, and he would theatrically explain the Western civilization class of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many, and it was inspiring. It let me know that you could take these different skills, the skill of theater and the skill of history,
mm-hmm.
and combine the two to inspire students to possibly become really good teachers themselves or in any other aspect of any other fields that they went into. Do you want me to talk about the different functions in the brain that happened during all these?
Yeah, tell us more about like what happened. Well, I want to know like in your moment, like what did he show you? You know, if preparation, the mind opening is that first stage of inspiration, what did he show you? Like specific, what was like, whoa, that possibility that opened for you?
How to really enthusiastically present something to students to definitely inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
And he also introduced me to, an art teacher mm-hmm. that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Tamara Grayson.
Shout out to Tamara Grayson,
mm-hmm. definitely. And Tamara took time to delve into art history with us
mm-hmm.
and to get into the philosophy about it. Also taking time to give us one-on-one instruction and also embraced a lot of people that may have considered, you know, young students coming in from high school
mm-hmm.
that may have considered themselves outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So she embraced that, and Bud Mays introduced me to her.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we talked a lot about how to inspire people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just overall like amazing. I think that it's helped me a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I know maybe where you were growing up and going to school, there wasn't always an opportunity to see these kinds of things and learn about the things that these teachers were teaching. It's like, you could say they kind of opened up a whole new realm of possibility for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, by first, you know, using pathos and logos, you know, using that skill to catch your attention. And then in that moment of your life, in that moment of what they were doing, it just showed you this whole new way of doing things. And now look at you. Sequoia Shanna is rocking it as a high-touch, high-tech instructor on the daily and loving it. You know, shout out to all those teachers that gave you the energy, the inspiration to be the awesome teacher that you are now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So delving into the different kinds of brainwaves, there are five basic kinds of brainwaves. We have gamma waves, and that's when we're having motor functions or higher mental states. And then beta waves, that's the normal waking state. That's when we're in concentration or focus. And then we have those alpha waves, those are the waves that happen when we are inspired or when we're having a moment of inspiring someone else.
Alpha waves.
Mm-hmm. So relaxed, light meditation, it's mm-hmm. creative. It's when you're involved in super learning and conscious.
Like the click, you know, it really is like the click. The Kairos is the click. It's the alpha wave. Like maybe all those things are kind of the same thing. Yeah. Wow.
And then we have the theta waves. Those happen when you have light sleep
mm-hmm.
or a recall or some sort of like a daydream or a fantasy.
It's amazing. All these electrical signals are different kinds of thought.
And then delta mm-hmm. waves, that's when you're in deep, dreamless sleep. Mm-hmm. That's the non-REM part mm-hmm. of sleep. Now, Nina, even though we talk about like alpha waves happening during moments of inspiration, mm-hmm. just like things aren't this or that, there are sometimes different waves happening at different times. Just when your eyes open, mm-hmm. there are automatically beta waves happening in the mm-hmm. brain. Now, like I said, when we meditate while we're awake, that definitely brings on those alpha waves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have moments of inspiration during meditation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If y'all meditate, you know this to be true.
And like you said, we're not the only animals that experience this.
It's true. Every, you know, animals with brains right. must have electrical signals.
Right, yeah. Exactly. There have been observations of bears sitting at overlooks, mm-hmm. just contemplating the beauty of the
world. I think I've seen a picture of that, Shannon, and it was a bear. They've been known. They just sit at locations. They've been observed doing this in all kinds of places with a beautiful view. They sit there and they just look at it. And I did see a picture of the bear was sitting with his little legs out in front of him, just kind of a little bear smile on his face. I wonder what kind of brain waves he was in at that moment.
Alpha.
That's pretty cool. That's amazing.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. This is our second part of inspiration and gratitude. Mm-hmm. We've delved into what kind of brainwaves happen during inspiration mm-hmm. and some very interesting stories of inspiring and being inspired.
Mm-hmm. So we hope you guys enjoyed this look at an amazing and very underrated process in this world. Can you people sell like inspirational quotes, inspirational planners? But inspiration itself, you know, from the time of Aristotle to our scientists who just pioneered nuclear fusion, inspiration itself is a driver of so much creativity, of so many things that we enjoy today, of so many people actualizing their dreams, from entrepreneurs to scientists to just everybody. Inspiration opens up our consciousness and helps us see things in a new way. Inspiration tells us, well, yeah, that could be possible. And, you know, eventually transmits itself to someone else thinking, yeah, that could be possible. And on and on and on. Really, really brilliant. And so it was a pleasure working on this podcast and reflecting on what we really do here at High Touch High Tech. Everything we aim for is to inspire young scientists. When Shannon and I are in our respective classrooms, you know, getting little scientist hugs, hearing scientists say they want to become a scientist because of us, or, you know, seeing that moment of the light bulb going off and students realizing something they never thought was possible is possible. That's just got to be one of the best things in life.
Definitely, you know, one of the best things in life.
One of the best things in life. We wish you a day full of inspiration. We hope you gave you some warm fuzzies here in January, increased your dopamine a little bit, maybe put you in some alpha waves for the day.
Increase your day by 1 minute.
By 1 minute, it is coming. Springtime is on the way. So thank you all for joining us, and we wish you a very inspiring and grateful day. We'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.